My project investigates the role of reactive oxygen species and abiotic stress in the development of calcium deficiency disorders. And this is a fairly general title for my project as a whole. What I'll be presenting on today is blossom-end rot in tomatoes. And blossom-end rot affects tomatoes. It also affects peppers and, to a lesser extent, things like eggplants and watermelon. It's a physiological disorder. It's not known to be related to any microbial disease. It's more of a nutrient deficiency and stress disorder. It affects about 1% of tomatoes overall. And this may not seem all that drastic, but where the real problems come is when you get the varying conditions. And so individual fields, if you have a particularly bad soil or watering conditions, things like that, you can have up to 15% incidence in individual fields. And this 15% can cause dramatic economic losses, particularly if the field is just deemed to be non-economic for the farmer to harvest. Then that field can go entirely to waste. There's a large body of diverse research into blossom-end rot. It covers calcium nutrition, oxidative stress, also phytohormones. But still there's still some confusion or some question about what's actually happening, why the tissue at the bottom of the of the tomato here is dying. And it's also linked to other physiological disorders, particularly calcium deficiency disorders, things like bitter pit in apples, and tip burn in lettuce, things like that. So gains made in this area can also potentially help in other areas. So if you're not familiar with blossom-end rot, it's associated with low calcium, and our lab at UC Davis in particular has established that low apoplastic calcium is highly associated with increased blossom-end rot incidence. Additionally, accumulation of hydrogen peroxide is important for blossom-end rot. And then different abiotic stresses, in particular salt stress and drought stress, can cause blossom-end rot, and it's thought to be caused through either modulating the amount of calcium or modulating the amount of hydrogen peroxide accumulated. For my project, I focused more on the hydrogen peroxide accumulation, and in particular, hydrogen peroxide accumulation in blossom-end rot has been shown to be associated with NADPH oxidase activity and superoxide dismutase activity. And these together go on to form hydrogen peroxide. And so that's one aspect of hydrogen peroxide accumulation, the actual production of the hydrogen peroxide. And then the other aspect is what is consuming this hydrogen peroxide. And there's a number of different ways it can be consumed through antioxidant activities. Ascorbic acid, glutathione, catalase, and peroxidase are some of the main ones. In blossom-end rot and tomatoes, it's fairly well established that NADPH oxidase and superoxide dismutase activities are increased. And this produces superoxide and then hydrogen peroxide in the tomato. And then conversely, ascorbic acid and glutathione are both greatly decreased in blossom-end rot tissues. So this sort of leaves catalase and peroxidase as two of the main enzymatic potential consumers of this hydrogen peroxide in blossom-end rot in tomatoes. And so I'll focus on them during this presentation. Additionally, blossom-end rot is associated with cell expansion. Blossom-end rot occurs during a period of very high cell expansion during fruit growth. And it occurs at the blossom end of the fruit, which is a very fast expanding portion of the fruit. Cell expansion comes about through two main factors. You have an increase in turgor. That's the pressure that's pushing on the outside of the cell to create that expansion. And then you also need a loosening of the cell wall to allow for that expansion. And in blossom-end rot, there are reports of disrupted cell expansion and smaller cells in the blossom end of the fruit. And additionally, one last thing, I know it's getting complicated up here, but there's also been found to be an accumulation of lignin precursors, or monolignols, in blossom-end rot fruit compared to healthy fruit, and that's through the phenylpropanoid pathway. And so why I bring all this up is the overarching hypothesis of this project is that hydrogen peroxide, in conjunction with peroxidase and lignin precursors, are reacting to form lignification. So this is the hypothesis of the project. This is what I set out to look for. This could then disrupt the cell wall loosening and disrupt the cell expansion and then be the cause of that disrupted cell expansion that has been reported with blossom end rot. So here's more of like a biochemical roadmap. Everything on the left side here has been fairly well established to be occurring, so I'm going to focus more on the right side. And so starting out with hydrogen peroxide accumulation in the tomato pericarp, throughout this presentation you'll see top, bottom, and BER tissue. BER is blossom end rot. And that the BER tissue is the actual necrotic or affected tissue here. This is mainly dead or dying cells. Bottom, for both the healthy and blossom end rot affected fruits, is healthy tissue. At the bottom of the fruit, in blossom end rot fruit, it's adjacent to the blossom end rot tissue. So that can give us some idea of the cells that are undergoing the blossom end rot development, what's going on there. And then the top is just the top of the pericarp. So what we see for hydrogen peroxide is that there is a fairly drastic accumulation of hydrogen peroxide in the bottom of blossom end rot affected fruit and the blossom end rot tissue, that dead or dying tissue. In the top of the fruit, there's not nearly as much accumulation, and also in the healthy fruit, in the bottom of healthy fruit, there's not that accumulation of hydrogen peroxide. So this more or less confirms other reports of hydrogen peroxide accumulation. So the next enzyme I took a look at was catalase. Catalase is a very simple mechanism for hydrogen peroxide consumption. It requires only hydrogen peroxide and produces oxygen and water. And when you take a look at the activity of catalase in blossom end rot fruit compared to healthy fruit, you find that in the top of the fruit, there's very similar activities between the healthy and the blossom end rot fruit. But as you progress down to the bottom of the fruit, in that bottom healthy tissue, the blossom end rot fruit has a significantly decreased activity of catalase compared to the healthy fruit. And then the blossom end rot affected portion of the fruit is even lower still. So what this says is that catalase in the bottom of blossom end rot fruit is likely not playing as big a role in consuming hydrogen peroxide, and this could lead to some of the hydrogen peroxide accumulation in the bottom of the fruit, and that's not occurring in the top of the fruit. It's fairly similar between healthy and blossom end rot fruit in the top, so this could help explain why the top of the fruit stays healthy while the bottom continues to develop blossom end rot. Additionally, I took a look at peroxidase activities, and peroxidase is a little bit more complicated of a mechanism. It requires a substrate to donate electrons and hydrogens, and this can act as a antioxidant. What happens is when you consume this hydrogen peroxide, you produce a radicalized product from these substrates, and if that radicalized product is semi-stable, as it would be in the case of something like ascorbic acid, that can then act as an antioxidant. But if you look at ascorbic acid peroxidase activity in blossom end rot versus healthy fruit, you find that in both the top and the bottom of the fruit, there's no real difference between, or it's very similar activities between blossom end rot and healthy fruit. And in addition, if you recall from the very beginning of the presentation, there's a reduced concentration of ascorbic acid in blossom end rot fruit. So this is likely not a significant antioxidant in blossom end rot fruit. And again, what I was interested in is not necessarily the antioxidant properties of peroxidase, but its potential for lignification. And to assess that, I used ferulic acid as a analog for monolignols or lignin precursors. And so what would happen in our system here is these monolignols would become radicalized. They would then react with each other to form a network, and that network would eventually form, would become lignin. When you take a look at ferulic acid peroxidase in blossom end rot compared to healthy fruit, you find in the bottom of the fruit there is a significant increase in ferulic acid peroxidase compared to healthy fruit, and less so in the top, really almost reversed in the top, and in the blossom end rot tissue, you also have an increase. If you compare these, you see that there's no drastic difference in ascorbic acid peroxidase activity, but ferulic acid peroxidase activity is increased in blossom end rot. And this is in the healthy bottom cells and the blossom end rot tissue as well. And so what I did then was, because this suggests that there could be lignification occurring through this ferulic acid peroxidase mechanism, I assayed for lignin, or I tried to measure lignin. I did this through autofluorescence, lignin autofluoresces, fairly reliably. And so on the right, you have fluorescence microscopy images. Any brightness there is associated with autofluorescence of the tissue. And so any brightness there, because this is in the lignin autofluorescence range, suggests that there is increased lignin in that area. And in the bottom of the blossom end rot fruit, compared to either the top or bottom of healthy fruit, you see increased autofluorescence, both in the dead tissue, the blossom end rot affected tissue, or the healthy but adjacent to the blossom end rot tissue. So this suggests that indeed there is likely some lignification occurring there. Just to recap, throughout this presentation we found an increase in hydrogen peroxide, a decrease in catalase activity. This means that likely this hydrogen peroxide is being consumed at least enzymatically through a more peroxidase-centric mechanism. And this is peroxidase is increased in blossom end rot tissue, specifically ferulic acid peroxidase. And this leads to lignification in the tissue. What are the implications of this? It means that there could be some disrupted cell expansion. This could explain the disrupted cell expansion that's been reported in blossom end rot. And there could also be some conserved mechanisms between some diverse fruit disorders. If you look at things like wound response and pathogen response, or chill injury, you see an accumulation of reactive oxygen species and lignification through very similar mechanisms. So I think it's worth looking between some fairly diverse disorders and hopefully finding some common areas or areas that could be researched more.